This is MFG Out Loud. Courageous conversations about sales and marketing for today's manufacturers. With your hosts, Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore.
Hey, Trailblazers, welcome to the latest episode of MFG Out Loud. And boy, are we thrilled to have our guest that we do today. Mr. Chris Granger is with us. Chris is the engineering and services manager at ECO, which is the electrical equipment company. And he's the founder, creator, and host of the ECO Ask Why podcast, which is absolutely awesome. Chris, welcome to MFG Out Loud. We're so thrilled to have you.
Thank you, Ray and Allison. It's an honor to be here.
Welcome. We're the lucky ones. How about it?
So listen, let's start things off. We're interested in you. Tell us a little bit about Chris. What's Chris all about?
Oh man, Chris is all about servant leadership. I mean, that's what it's about, you know. And I've been blessed to be in a position to help a lot of people, and you know, at ECO and outside of ECO, I do some things on the side to try to really help people from a personal finance standpoint. So it's about servant leadership and trying to connect people and always keep others first.
That's a beautiful starting point. How did you end up at ECO? Tell us a bit about that business and kind of what they're all about.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. My dad was a customer, and still is. And they were calling on him, and the gentleman who was calling on him happens to be our COO now. Okay. And he needed a co-op engineer. And so we met because they were doing some integration type work, designing panels and PLCs and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we met, hit it off. He turned into be my mentor, just all around one of my best friends I consider in my life. One of the people, you know, you can just go to when things are good, as well as when they're bad too, you go to them.
Right. I hear you.
So co-op for 2 years while I was at Old Dominion there in Norfolk, and got ready to graduate. He had a job waiting for me as a sales engineer. And did everything from run the counter, you know, working at the counter, working inside sales, the driving the truck, the whole deal. So if it's been an electrical distributor job, I've probably done it. Wow. And so then did that for a couple of years as a sales engineer, and it's basically just jumped right into sales management and flipped to the service side of our business. We used to do motor services, motor repair.
Yeah,
and did business development, managed business development managers, and for multiple states in all of our regions, and then had a chance to take over operations because I felt like I had too much hair, so I wanted to get rid of some of it. Jumped into operations management and ran 3 motor shops. Had a great time. It was a blessing. It was a wonderful stint of my career. And we actually divested that business in 2018, and that led me to the role that I'm in now. And working with a lot of really smart individuals and back to this side of the business. So I was doing a lot of traveling, listening to a lot of podcasts, listening to Gary Vee. And I think about after the 20th time Gary Vee said, you got to start a podcast or you're an idiot. I was like, all right, maybe there's something to this. So, just went to ask for some time with our executive, our COO, like I mentioned, and my current supervisor, and laid out a little business plan about this crazy idea for a podcast called Eco Ask Why. And, you know, what I wanted to focus on and how I thought it could serve people and help people. And they looked at me, they're like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. They're like, well, can you do it? I think I can, but give me a shot, you know? And from there, they hooked me up with our executive producer, Adam Sheets. He's just turned into be one of my best friends in the world. And we've just taken off together. And we've now added another team member to our marketing team, Andy Thrower, and she's helping us with video and all this stuff that I mess up on the video. She corrects me and gets me straight. So it's just a really cool team effort. And we've had, you know, 70 plus guests now, 150 recordings. And it's just, we're dropping about 3 a week, and it's been really wonderful.
Yeah. You've set a high bar, man. Let me tell you, that is something. You know what I find most interesting, and for our guests, and we're going to provide all the links, but if you're not already following the Eco Ask Why podcast and checking out, you just have to, because we said so. No, and you'll know more by the end of the episode. But what really struck me is, tell everybody what the podcast is not. And I think that's an interesting approach.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not salesy and it's not about us, you know, and it's, and I made that clear and I have to reiterate that with guests and they all have been super, you know, willing to accept that, but it's, you know, if you come on and you're a vendor or a manufacturer, let's focus on the problems that we're solving for people out there. Not the flashy features and benefits. Right. And that's actually been received really well. I haven't had any pushback on it. And, you know, from time to time, we may have to nudge people on the side, you know, while we're recording, Hey, not a commercial. And, you know, but they always reel it back in and it's been received really well because, you know, the downloads are proving that people are really liking these ideas that we're covering. And I are also proving that they like the hero conversations. They're my favorite, the hero conversations and just the stories about how people, you know, work their way through industry. It's been pretty cool.
And it's, you know, let's kind of stay on that theme because there's, yeah. In so much of what you do kind of comes from who you are, that thread of that servant leadership mm-hmm. aspect, you live and breathe that. And that's clear. Anybody that ever talks to you and it comes through in how you communicate on the podcast. So I want to kind of stay on that. What have you, has that been difficult? Trying to think of the right way to ask this one now, to get from, you know, the transition from the engineer, you know, to the podcast host, has that been kind of a logical progression or has it just been a, you know, like you said, Gary V and why the hell not? Expand on that a little more. Cause I know there's a lot of people sniffing around the edges and they don't know if it's for them.
Right. I mean, for me, I when I graduated engineering, I never really wanted to do the engineering itself. I mean, I know, as crazy as that sounds, the math never excited me. You know, I could do the math, but I never got excited about it. I was more interested in the people. Always been that connector, just working with people. That goes back to my first job at an old time service station. You guys may remember the kind where you drive up to and the bell rings and people run out and clean your windshield and check your oil. That was me. I did that. And I loved that job and it taught me a lot about working with the public for one, but just how to serve others and everybody likes to be treated differently. And so it's just, for me, it's always been, I've worked at Eco for 20 years. Wow. I've never had the same job more than like three because I've always just been trying different things. Yeah. And so it was just a natural progression for me to, hey, I see a need. I really got intrigued with this marketing thing and what we're doing. And it kind of all started with just by reposting a lot of the blogs we did. And trying to get active on LinkedIn. Our COO, he was again coaching me. He's like, well, try this and try this. And I was like, well, I'm going to do the podcast now. So it was just a natural, you know, never really been scared to try new things. And if I fail, I fail, but I want to go down swinging. So it was just I saw it as a really good opportunity to be a thought leader in our space. Nobody was doing it and take a new approach and not be about us. And luckily they agreed and they're letting us do it.
Well, I have a question. Is making the customer or in this case for your podcast, it could be a customer, it could be a vendor, mm-hmm. making them the hero of your story? Because Ray and I preach that from the mountaintops and we try to live it as well. And I'm curious, was that something that Eco already embraced as a culture or did you introduce that? Like that was the objective of the podcast. And if it wasn't for the company, was it a hard pill for them to swallow?
So part of our mission statement, you know, companies have these mission statements and sometimes people read them and sometimes they don't, sometimes they actually live them, sometimes they don't. Well, this our mission statement was really cool and a part of it was people and ideas over products. So I just took that theme and I said, all right, guys, you're smart executives, a lot smarter than me, but I think we can take this and actually put some meat on this bone and live it. And let's focus on the people and ideas and not talk about the products. And let's just really zone in on that. And that kind of in itself created the theme of the show, right? The idea episodes and hero episodes. And they were grinning. They're like, all right, cool. I was like, all right, there you go. So, I mean, it was there, but this made it have legs.
And it was one of the things that's really interesting because I did read the mission statement and what the company's all about. How old is Eco?
1926. So we're coming up here in a few years on the 100th year. So that'd be a big one.
That's what I think when the core vision of a company and those core values and beliefs mm-hmm. are timeless. You know, I mean, if you've, how much technology has happened between 1926 and now, and you're still leading.
Mind blowing.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was so impressive. Please.
Was that culture there the whole time? Do you feel like that culture and those ideals have evolved over time?
I think it's been an evolution. You know, we've been able to acquire some businesses and bring in, you know, new people into the company. And so, I mean, it's been an evolution. I mean, I think one of our hero conversations was our prior CEO, Jack Lawson, and he really laid a lot of the foundation through the 90s and through his stint. And now our CEO now is just taking that approach. And just, again, we're just continuing to grow and focusing on how we can help people. So it's been a good evolution for sure.
That's awesome.
What would you say to other manufacturers or B2B businesses that say, well, you know, starting a podcast sounds like a great idea, but isn't everybody doing it, first mm-hmm. of all? And because my questions are never just one part, they have to be two or three. Isn't everybody doing it? And two, who are we going to get to do it? Everybody's mm-hmm. busy. We don't have somebody like,
right.
Did you get those same objections from anybody or?
Well, like, I didn't get the objection about who's going to do it, because I just led that. So I kind of took that off the table. I was like, I'll do the heavy lifting. I'll take this on outside of my regular responsibilities, because I saw the greater opportunity. But I mean, it was embraced pretty well. And it's from having a good team with our marketing to help support that.
Yeah.
Really made it, has just made it really seamless. And again, it's just been a good chance to focus on others and put us in a position, because nobody, you know, from our standpoint as a distributor, there may be a couple that have started and tried it, but it hasn't been really embraced, because, you know, there are a lot of podcasts out there, but we're a distributor selling other manufacturers' stuff in the industry. So we're kind of that essential middleman, right? We're not making this stuff, but we're that rep. So definitely new for a company like us in the position that we're in.
Yeah, that's rare for a distributor, because oftentimes mm-hmm. they rely on the manufacturer. You know, okay, you guys have the podcast,
right?
You know, and we need those pull through sales, and we need you to handle the marketing. Mm-hmm. So you're a rare bird in the first place. But do you feel like, I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but for our listeners, based on the successes that you've had, mm-hmm. again, would you tell people that have thought about it, would you say, you know what, man, like Gary Vee said, if you don't start a podcast and take advantage of this, you're crazy.
Yeah, I would. I mean, so long as you understand, I'm all about the why, obviously, Eco asks why, but if you have a good, clear why, and you know who your audience is, what you're trying and who you're trying to help, go for it. You know, I saw a post today from a gentleman, Tim Wilburn, and I do a lot with him, and he's been on our show, and it stood out, because he said, I made this video 2 years ago for one person, and now it has I forget how many thousands of views. It was crazy, the number of views, but he was focused on that one person and truly helping them. And that's our approach. You know, if you think that you have an idea that's going to help people, go all in, because the podcast is a great media right now to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So circling back, you've got the why, you've got the company culture, you've got the backing, you've got the credibility in the industry, you've been at it 20 years, you've got engineer, you know, you've got mm-hmm. all the right stuff there. How has it impacted, I guess, internally? Mm-hmm. Has it changed perceptions, relationships, focus? You know, has it brought about any adjustments or pivots internally? I guess I'm just curious how it's impacted.
The biggest internal adjustment has been with marketing directly. I mean, that is the big one. Yeah, you know, our sales team has embraced it. We've had some wonderful customers that come on, have been guests. Mm-hmm. And my whole spiel when I talk to our internal salespeople is, you know, let's take a make it good to great, just like the book. You know, it can take a good relationship and turn into a great one, because we're going to treat them like kid gloves. We're going to treat them like they're rock stars. Yeah. You know, good follow up. You know, just make sure that, you know, with every guest they get that red carpet treatment. But so far as like how we started flowing and actually making changes and looking at, particularly with me and my team, mm-hmm. because we got so close to marketing. Now, like every month, like today we had our marketing, engineering, and services team meeting. And it's like a year ago, that what type of meeting is that? We weren't having that meeting. Like, but now this is like a legit meeting for an hour, and we're getting it on about how we can, you know, build some programs and campaigns and who's going to do the follow up. And, you know, they're sharing all these metrics on click throughs. And I'm like, is that good? Okay, it sounds good. Let's keep going. You know, and it's just really built a really good unit of us working together. So my team now is thinking from marketing standpoint, marketing's thinking about engineering, and it's really led to a lot of changes there. So more than anything.
That's awesome. You broke down a lot of silos.
Absolutely. Couple, you know. For sure. And I've learned a lot, you know, because, you know, having an engineering background, it's cool to know how the marketing side works and how, what do I need to do to put us in the best position to help people from a marketing standpoint and to put the biggest, you know, spotlight on us and the solutions. Yep. Didn't think that way before. So it's really changed my thinking.
That's awesome.
Do you feel like it's also changed marketing's thinking?
Oh yeah. Hands down. I mean, Adam, I mean, he and I, it's scary. It's, you know, my wife and his wife, they see it's a bromance type thing going on. Maybe it's a little truth there, but, you know, we talk every day. I mean, it's every day on something. And now Andy's in the mix and we're talking with her every day, and it's constant, you know, just back and forth. Yeah. Should we try this? Should we try that? Hey, how can we have, what can we do? Even for like you recently, Ray, Annie and I, we worked on a social post for you with a snip. And because we wanted to put the best spotlight, because you were a hero, but we wanted to share the things that you were talking about. And it's just that type of back and forth. And she can come out right now and say, hey, your angle of your camera is terrible. Like she made me redo a video 3 times. It was hilarious. But we have that level of trust. And that was like 2 months in, brand new employee. She's telling me, a 20-year essentially veteran, hey, yeah, your video sucks. And I was like, cool, thank you for telling me. I'm going to redo it. Like, what do I need to do to make it better? And we just have that level of trust.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Well, so I like to help. We like to help our listeners, like give them value and answer mm-hmm. some of the questions, some of the courageous questions that maybe they're thinking in their head, but they're afraid to articulate or ask. I think a lot of people are afraid to fail. They're afraid to look foolish. What would be your advice to them? You know, go for it. The failure is only going to get you to success, or what would you say?
You got to do it. I mean, if I look through even our first episodes, and you know, we created a pretty big backlog out front with some of our internal people. And so we're now even releasing some of those initial episodes that we first recorded, and I'll hear them and I'm like, oh man, like, you know, ooh, you know, but they were at bats, you know, my oldest daughter just started playing softball, and it's like, it's the same thing. It's just getting her those at bats and working with her every day. And, you know, now she's getting stronger with her throwing and her fielding. And it's going to take years to develop that skill, but it's the same type of skill in business. You know, it's just getting those at bats. So I say you got to get over the fear. You know, I did have a little fear the first time the mic went on, but now it's fun for me now. It's like, all right, this is the fun part, is when the mic's hot. The rest is the hard work, you know, but as you both know, but I would say you got to just embrace it. Just get out there and try it. And, you know, if it doesn't work, you can always pivot and make a change to another area. But we didn't let the fear slow us down, for sure.
Well, I think part of what I see is that you stay, no matter what, you stay true to your why. Yeah. You know, it's the podcast is the current how. Mm-hmm. You know, you can manifest that and serve either your current customers or those that may be, you know, of interest, future customers, you know, mm-hmm. and those types of things. I think as long as you're anchored in that why, you can always circle back and work on the tactics.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely.
Do you feel like,
No, go ahead, please.
Do you feel like that this has infused eco-social media conversations as well?
For sure. I mean, I think we're, you know, our following and you know, all the metrics that, that they share with me, they're positive and it looks good. And I think we're in a position of thought leadership, which is a great position to be in. We're in a position of influence now. We have people that really jump on our idea episodes and they learn. And then when they, if they want to know more, they come to us because they know, you know, we probably know more about it and we can help them. And so, I mean, I just think those two areas have been really, really profound for us.
I love that. Well, because we talk about this all the time with guests and with clients that Ray and I work with together. And it's that many of them feel like they're the best kept secret in the industry. Mm-hmm. And what we uncover for them is that they're actually just whispering, right? They're barely talking. They're barely, you know, they're dipping a toe in social media. They're very reactive. They're not sure if it has value. And what we tell them is the conversation is happening with or without you. So right. You might as well lead it.
Right.
And so I have such admiration for you that you had the gumption and the courage and the foresight to start this podcast and lead that conversation. And now your results are exactly what we tell people and encourage them to do. So that's exciting. And isn't it, is it one of those things where I know Ray and I have, had this conversation so many times. Do you just look back and think, oh my gosh, what if I hadn't started this? This is the best thing I've ever done.
Oh yeah. All the time. I mean, you know, like some of our, I was in a business meeting last week and it was a guest who had came on the show and he had heard our show because of another guest that came on and he's connected to on LinkedIn. And we actually found out we went to school together. I mean, in the same classes together at Old Dominion. It was crazy. Wow. And he was on talking about system integrators and how they're evolving. And that's led to, all right, we're going out to his business, you know, getting to know his team and seeing how we can help each other and not once trying to sell anything. Just, all right, does your business work? Here's how we work. Is there a good opportunity for us to help each other? And we're just taking that approach. And at this point, we haven't introduced a salesperson in an account. It's just been the engineering and team and it's leading to opportunities. And I'm working with the sales manager, obviously, but it's just been a really new, like a neat new approach to business that's led basically because of this. So yeah, absolutely. I'm so thankful that we did this for one, you know, we got downloads all over the world to think somebody in Australia is listening. This old country boy is like, what is wrong with y'all? And, you know, but apparently they like it. So we're doing it.
That's awesome. That is awesome. What's interesting is the willingness. There's a flow to the customer mm-hmm. journey. Mm-hmm. You know, that I think traces back to the why mm-hmm. And everything else. But what's happening here is you're kind of inviting the customer in and it's like, well, let's go. And it's part of the servant approach. I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Let's follow you and we'll keep supporting you. You know, what do you need? As opposed to we need to stop now because here's somebody you've never met who's going to give you mm-hmm. the catalog and take you through, you right. know, that's not how it's rolling. So you've had yep. that openness. To adjust, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, B2B's changed. I mean, they don't want that anymore. I mean, think about how people buy. I mean, by the time it gets to a salesperson, they figured out a lot of the stuff. So they, a lot of times they want to talk to the experts, which happens to be our team, the engineering yeah. services. So it's just, it's really, changed the way I think about business in general, too. And the podcast has just shaped a lot of that.
That's interesting. That is really interesting.
Like you said, it turned it in. It's a global conversation.
For sure.
You know?
I mean, I had a young lady, she's doing her doctorate work in England, reach out and she had heard the show about defining digital transformation. And she had questions on Industry 4.0. And as I'm in this Teams meeting with her, You know, it's midnight in England, whatever time it is here. I'm in this like state of awe. Like, am I really talking to this lady about Industry 4.0 from, you know, North Carolina, because she found us on a podcast on Apple and found value in it, which is like, all that was just like, it was crazy. So yeah, it's just those types of conversations are amazing.
That's incredible. Chris, how long ago did you launch the podcast?
We're coming up on a year. So we're not quite at a year yet, but we're coming up on it.
I think one of the things that you said that's very instructive for people creating podcasts, this is one of those do as Chris says, not as Allison and I did. You approached it like an engineer. You built kind of a business plan around it, you know, and here's what we're going to do. And here are the tasks and the responsibilities, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, make a big deal, start a new initiative and then never maintain it.
Exactly.
You know, and you lose all kinds of credibility, you know, that way. And I think that's the progress that you've made in such a short period of time, that in itself is transformational. You know, people always talk, oh, you know, we need to do something really exotic to transform our business. You know, exotic doesn't, and transformational doesn't mean a ton of money, right?
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean hire 100 people.
Exactly.
Know, sometimes you change the way you think, and here you go.
I mean, for us, I have an engineering background, and for me, everything's a process. I mean, sometimes it drives my wife crazy, but there's a process to how we run our house, you know, how we raise our kids.
When you're there.
That's right. That's right. When I'm here. But for the podcast, it truly was a process. And we defined I kind of defined up front how I want to treat our guests, what that process for the guest experience looks like. Yeah. And then, okay, how are we, you know, actually going to pull it off from a mechanic standpoint, you know, the hardware and all that stuff. So we got all that straight. And then the biggest thing, I guess, if for the listeners, if they're considering this, is get all your ducks in a row first, you know, and have everything defined. Understand you're not going to have it all figured out up front, but have a general process. Because best thing we ever did for the cat out the bag for us is we just made a release schedule. It's a dynamic spreadsheet, but it has all the assets tied to it. It's a very complex, you know, document at this point, but it keeps us in check. It knows, I know when I need to write show notes. I know when Adam and Andy are doing editing. I know when, you know, I need to alert a guest that their episode's getting ready to be released. Right. I mean, it keeps everything in alignment. And that really has helped us. And I think that engineering background helped define and create a lot of that structure.
Yeah.
That sounds so much like our process, Ray, doesn't it?
Oh, so, you know, it's funny. Great minds. Yeah, we're a little more ready, fire, aim.
Gotcha.
There's a semi-process.
Yeah.
Yes.
We mean well. But I got to tell you, Chris, your ears must be burning, because everybody that's ever been part of your podcast, we all talk to each other. And, you know, I've had the great good fortune of being on there, but we all get on LinkedIn and we call each other and it's like, can you believe how cool this was? And I still have the handwritten thank you note. And, you know, truth be told, you know, everybody I know that's doing podcasts went out and started getting thank you notes printed up. And it's like, you know, in 1 year you came out of nowhere and created the gold standard for how it should be done from a guest experience standpoint, and clearly from how it should be done within a technical environment.
Thank you.
And that's something special, and why we're so thrilled to have you here today sharing your journey and your process and all that good stuff.
Well, thank you, Ray. That's awesome. Appreciate that.
Well, I have two last questions, and then sadly, as I say every episode, we have to wrap up.
Okay.
I hate. Quickly, ROI. Most leaders that I talk with, they propose these ideas to senior leadership to get buy-in, like amping up their social media or starting a podcast or what, fill in the blank. And senior leadership always says, well, what's the return going to be? Is this going to generate actual sales? And how are we going to measure that? And, you know, if you can't justify that, then the answer is no.
Right.
So what do you, what would you say to that to give them some ammunition?
A lot of it is you have to have the right leadership. And for, because if they're not willing to really think, you got to have, be somewhat open-minded, you know, because if you really want to tie ROI to a podcast, you're going to have a hard time. I mean, just in reality. So, I mean, I would say if that doesn't align, you know, if your passion doesn't align with the culture of the company and where they're trying to go, it just may not be a good fit, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I would hate to see you give up. You could always try it on your own without the, you know, without the blessing. I've known people who've done that and they've just started their own podcast. And
Chris Lukey.
Yeah, Mr. Lukey, who I dropped dropped his episode today on EcoSY. It actually dropped. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. He's exactly what I was thinking of, right? Okay. So, you know, you could just do it. And then next thing you know, you have this amazing brand. You're helping a lot of people. So that would be my advice. And I mean, and again, that just goes, it goes back to speak to the leadership that we have with, particularly with our COO and Jeff and the things that he's got in me. He never asked those type of questions because he could see past, you know, where we're at right now and what it would do for us.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I love it, man. Okay. And last question. This is super important. So everybody lean in because you're going to want to know the answer. The next time I am in Franklinton, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Where do we go eat?
Oh, Allison, we're coming here. I mean, so I'm not a big, I'm a little laid back. I told Lukey on this, when he was wanting to know where we were going out to drink. I said, look, buddy, we're going to fire up a fire outside in a fire pit and, we'll find a mason jar and we'll pass it around and see how things are going. So if you're down with that, Allison, we can have a good time. My wife will be out there with us and well, there you go.
And I'm sure we can twist Ray's arm, so I'm just going to throw.
There you go. There you go.
haven't found a mason jar I didn't like either.
Exactly. Man. Well, oh my gosh, Chris, we can't thank you enough for being with us today and for sharing all of your knowledge and your passion. You're a rock star, guy.
Thank you so much, Allison. It's been an honor. I love what you and Ray are doing for MFG Out Loud, and can't believe you guys asked me to be on. So it's very humbling. So thank you so much.
Well,
it was all ours.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you're listening, first and foremost, we appreciate you. You know that. And if you're not already, get yourself over and subscribe to MFG Out Loud. You can do it on Apple. We're on, I don't know, 8 or 9 different platforms, and bringing exceptional value is our goal every week to manufacturers and people supporting manufacturers with courageous sales and marketing conversations. So if you find value in this, please leave a review. 5 stars is lovely. That just tells other people that this is worth listening to and spending your time with. So Ray, please take us out.
Thanks again, Chris. Thank you. Thank you to our listeners for being with us. And everybody, keep manufacturing out loud, because we need you.
Thank you for listening to MFG Out Loud with Ray Zaganto and Allison DeFore. You can subscribe and find show notes at mfgoutloud.com.